Hello and welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast. Our hope is that you will be encouraged in your faith as you hear how MCC beliefs and practices are fleshed out in the daily lives of the members of our fellowship. And I am delighted today to have Alan and Sarah McElroy. Alan referred to as Mac, and that's probably how I refer to him here on the podcast. So happy to have them on with us. Alan and Sarah serve at White Cliff Church in Ketchikan, Alaska. Alumni of MCC, Mac did an internship with us as a student at MBTS, and just delighted to have them on the podcast. They are parents of Hazel and Henry and JB and Liam. So Hazel is a daughter and surrounded by three brothers. And so she mothers them along well, and we are excited for all the Lord is doing in your family. Welcome, Mac and Sarah.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, so delighted to catch up with you here. And I know folks at MCC miss you. And we are excited to just catch up here today. So let me give just a survey for folks who don't know the McElroys, and some folks at MCC may not, but we are excited to introduce you to them. I met Mac and Sarah in 2016 at a lunch at MBTS. They were prospective students at that time and living in Kansas, and were at that time fellowshipping with Lentz and Amy Upshaw. Is that right, Mac?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in Manhattan. And just friends, other alumni of MCC, and they served there in Manhattan, and the McElroys were a part of that fellowship, and Sarah was teaching, and Mac, you were finishing up school, is that right, at that point?
Yeah, I was pretty fresh out of the Army and finishing up my undergrad at K-State.
And Mac's a veteran of United States Army. And how many years total have you served, Mac?
Total, I had 13, reserve and active.
And 13 years, yes. And served in Afghanistan, is that correct?
And three tours, Afghanistan once, Kuwait twice.
Yeah. So delight to just think about your service there and the stories you shared, even when you preached at MCC, and how the Lord was so faithful to you and used your background, your service, and Sarah teaching, and her background in teaching in Alaska is where the McElroys met, as Alan was stationed in Alaska, and then coming to Kansas, where Sarah is from, and then to Kansas City to MBTS in 2018. And the McElroys joined MCC in 2018. And Mac did an internship, year-long internship with us. And in that time and after that, the Lord put on the heart of the McElroys to maybe go back to Alaska after Mac graduated. And Mac graduated in 2020 from MBTS, and then headed up to White Cliff Church in Ketchikan, Alaska, and has been there since. And the year that 2020 was, I think of all my friends, for you all, it was perhaps the most pronounced. A, not getting a graduation service, which I would have loved to have stood for you, Mac, to honor you and celebrate as a graduate, having to say goodbye to friends in Kansas City via a drive-through service at church to say goodbye, which is still it was a cool memory of 2020, yeah. Even though it was a stinker, it was just really cool. And and then you had little Liam toward the end of 2020, and so excited to catch everybody up on these happenings. Sarah, I want to start with you. Liam was born what month?
December.
Yeah, December. So you all headed up to Alaska in May, and you were expecting at that time and began to settle in. What what has life been like there in Ketchikan? If you can just give us a snapshot, maybe series of snapshots there from mid to later 2020 and getting ready to have Liam and catch us up since.
Yeah, it's been blissfully chaotic and we love it. We came up here, we had a 2-week quarantine at the time. And for the first week we had no furniture, but the church here was gracious enough to give us air mattresses and supplied us with food because we were basically in lockdown. We couldn't go anywhere to get groceries and we had no furniture. But they thought of everything. They had a care package for our kids. So we had toys and coloring books and just things to keep them entertained for a week until our stuff had arrived via barge. So we had to ship it up on a barge up here. But despite the rainiest summer on record for Ketchikan, we managed to get out and the kids love exploring. Henry calls the ocean a puddle. So to him, it's just a great big puddle that he can go and splash in, and they love to. We don't have sandy beaches here necessarily, really rocky beaches, but they love to turn over the rocks and dig for sea stars and crabs and all kinds of sea urchins up here. That's probably their favorite pastime. So it's been fun watching them explore, and it's just God's gift to homeschooling for us. It's just science right in the backyard. So we have really enjoyed our summer up here. And with the lack of tourists, we really kind of get to explore it without the crowd. So that's been really good. And then Liam was born in December, and praise God for just a healthy delivery. Ketchikan is a small hospital. And so if there were any complications during pregnancy or during the birth, they're not necessarily equipped to handle those complications. So I would have had to have been medevaced to either Anchorage or Seattle if there were any complications. So we're just really grateful for a quick, easy, healthy delivery. God's providence, there were two ladies from our church that happened to be nurses on the delivery unit. So got to know two of our nurses that actually attend our church. So it's just been a great experience so far.
That is so cool. I didn't realize there were nurses there that are a part of White Cliff. That is a huge blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And one also works in the pediatric unit. And so she's taken Liam's blood and done his checkups. And it's just really nice to see a familiar face.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So happy for the Lord's sustaining grace on you. And Mac, you arrived there and had to preach your first few Sundays via technology. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. So I was in our living room on a folding table in front of my laptop preaching the first couple of sermons as a pastor, and they were piped into the church on these big TVs. Everyone sat in the pews like they normally would, but I was on a television. So that was interesting. And so, yeah.
And your first Sunday when you got back was in June then, when you were able to actually be present at the facility with the church body. Is that right?
Yeah. Sometime around there, probably June.
Yeah. And you preached through 1 Peter.
Yes. Yeah.
Reflect on that for us. What was it like to your first sermon series, preaching in a book and getting through it? What did that feel like for you?
Well, it was challenging, and it was fun at the same time. So, you know, it's the first time I'd preached some sequential passages there at Masters, but had never, preached the whole book of the Bible. So it was a little bit challenging, overwhelming at times, but it was also a lot of fun to get to see how the book unraveled as you're going through it week by week. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then we had a few smaller series after that for both their benefit and mine. They hadn't had anybody, as one lady told me, "We've never had a preacher that preaches like you." We started with some smaller books and then went into a thematic series on the covenants and Advent. And now we're in the book of Mark. We've been there since the first of the year.
So fun. So where are you at in Mark right now?
Mark 4.
That's great.
Yeah.
So 1 Peter, and now preaching through a gospel.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. The comment from your parishioner, I'm sure it was a compliment. that we've never had anybody preach like this before.
Yeah.
Tell us just a nugget or two about your weekly routine, including preaching and getting ready and other just weekly staples, if you will, in the life of Pastor Mac or Pastor Alan McElroy, however you're referred to.
So generally every morning I kind of carve aside for sermon prep. I like to start on Monday. I tried to take Mondays off, but I was just always itching to get into the passage that I'd find myself like, I like to printing off the passage anyway. So, Monday morning, start on the passage. In the afternoon, I try to meet with guys, at coffee shops. Now, you know, depending on what the COVID risk level is and what people are comfortable with, some weeks, like last week, I didn't get really to meet with very many people at all. One guy, but afternoons is usually when I meet with folks. Every Wednesday night, we have a small group that meets at our house. And then Tuesday nights right now, we're in a 10-week study, for the Church Institute. We're going through one of those by Dr. Allen. And then I also meet with our music director, who is just a providential godsend. That's another story. On Wednesdays for some discipleship. And so we're going through G.I. Packer's Knowing God. So sermon prep and meeting with folks and classes is pretty much, and hanging out with my family, the bread and butter for Pastor Allen.
I love it. Well, let's talk about the music director and share that story with us.
Yeah. So when we got here, we had a family that had been here with the last pastors, his family, and they'd kind of gotten into a movement. Which is not very good. And we might even call it, or would call it, heretical. And then there were even some instances within the church of questioning and sometimes denying the deity of Christ. And so there was a loving kind of wrestle there and walking through that, that controversy all summer. And then we got to the book of Jude. And there in the first few verses of Jude, we talked about staying with the once and for all delivered gospel. And I, as lovingly as I could, called out this movement, not calling out anyone in the church, but calling out the movement itself, and telling people that I was not against them as individuals, but loving them. And at the end of it, we had kind of a mass exodus of about 8 people. The associate pastor who was leading the music resigned. One of the deacons resigned. And it was one of those where the deacons and the leaders that were left were like, well, it needed to happen. But it was also like third month in ministry and hitting with this big controversy. So Monday morning, we just had this new guy come. He came down to work on the shipyards, and I'd met with him once, and I knew he was a pretty strong believer. And he called me on Monday morning after all this transpired and said, hey, Pastor, I know a little bit about leading music, and if I can use my giftings to serve the church, I'd like to. And I said, you know what? Let's have supper tonight and talk about that. He came over and, you know, I handed him my guitar and I said, well, let's hear what you got. And he started playing Be Thou My Vision, which, you know, providentially is my favorite song. And I said, you know, I don't know what the church is going to decide, but until we have time, you're hired. And so he has just done a phenomenal job. He's served on praise teams, but never led a praise team before. He's just really done a phenomenal job of leading our congregation each week in biblical Christ-centered worship. And he's just been a huge blessing to me and our family. So
if I'm doing the math right and listening well here, it was like, within 72 hours?
Yeah. Oh, it was the next day. The next day after the mass exodus and all the resignations.
Okay, within 24 hours. But that's like George Mueller.
Yeah. You know?
It's like, yeah, a wife for Isaac, right?
Yeah.
That it's just, I remember that story, you sharing it, Mac, and just listening to you share it now is so encouraging for us. And for other guys who are going to listen to this podcast and think about ministry, and you're just starting out, and what is it like? Is God going to provide? If I take a step of faith and I try to endure with people and it still doesn't go well, is God going to take care of us? And we have to rely upon Him. And I just I'm so happy for His kindness to you in that. And the continued relationship and a chance to now disciple him and to work together.
Yeah.
It's very rich.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's one of the sort of providential blessing stories that have come about in your time there. What else could you tell us? What else have you just seen the Lord's kindness in? Yeah. Maybe it's in a bigger way like that, or even just in a smaller way. This is the Lord's favor upon us.
Yeah. Well, I think just we've been praying for, most people, especially that MCC, know that the past pastor of 20 years is currently in prison for a major moral failing. And so one of our big prayers has been that God would just, bring to White Cliff Church other men that could help this church continue to grow and move past that situation. And it was funny, one of the men that joined is pretty sound on theology. He's actually helping lead a Bible class right now. His first Sunday was that Sunday, where that first week in Jude. I thought of all the Sundays to come, but he made a beeline to me after the service and thanked me because he had just left a church for that very reason, because they were into this movement, denying the deity of Christ and this kind of things going on. And so they joined the church, have been a huge blessing. Other members as well. We had a local Coast Guard medical lieutenant commander who joined, and he said, I've tried 6 or 7 other churches on this island. And I haven't found anything that sticks to the Bible. And he's like, honestly, we watched you on Facebook, and the reason that we came to White Cliff Church is because from the beginning of the service to the end of the service, White Cliff Church has the Bible involved. Like, we read scripture at the beginning, we preach through books of the Bible. So that's been just a super encouragement to know that there are people out there that are looking for that kind of preaching in Ketchikan, Alaska. So,
amen. Amen.
This is kind of a small one, but we had originally had some plans for Thanksgiving. Mm. And the sweet lady that was going to host us got really ill Thanksgiving morning. Mm. And so I hadn't bought anything for Thanksgiving because I was planning on traveling. But that day, without telling anybody our story, this is very George Mueller. A lady called me up and said, can I bring you 2 pies? So she brought us some pies, and somebody brought us bread rolls. And so by the end of the day, people had actually delivered Thanksgiving meal to us. Yeah. And we were able to feed our music director as well. So it was just a huge way that God had provided for us at the last minute. And I know we need just positions to be filled within the church. Within a week, the Lord has provided somebody to work our soundboard or somebody to run the slides or, he's just been faithful in providing people for us. So.
Yeah. So fun. And I just know as a pastor, and even hearing you, Sarah, mention those things of service positions in the church, how valuable the whole body is. That it is not, even if a church gets a new pastor, that's great, but we need somebody to run slides. We need somebody to lead music. We need some other people to teach other voices. Yeah. And how valuable and how encouraging. Our listeners probably don't know, but you and I, Mac, have been planning for me to come up and be with you all in May, and Randy Covington, the director of the Alaska Baptist Convention, going to preach and encourage the folks there in just those ideas, the glory of the local church, the glory of God in running slides, the glory of God in a church nursery, and if that is something that could come about, or what that's like now, or teaching and leading and these kinds of things, that for a pastor to have folks who listen to scripture is great. But we want people to use their gifts to participate, to be involved, and to grow in such a way that the atmosphere on Sunday is really community-based, and that spills over into the lives of the people caring for one another. And we're a part of things, but I just appreciate Sarah even mentioning that right away, that it's about the body. It's not just about having a pastor now or something else. And in some ways, the Lord does that, I think, in many new pastors' situations, that, boy, I need people to do this or that. Yeah. They all come around. So it's very cool to think about. Well, just obviously you've had to adjust with COVID. Tell us about that, Mac. What's that been like leading your church? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, when you're in seminary and you're thinking, what's the first year of ministry going to be like? You're not thinking COVID, and we already live in a rainforest, but the rainiest summer on record. But it's been good. God has really blessed. And like most pastors, I have everybody on both extremes of COVID, and you're just trying to love both of them. And, you know, sometimes when you're in the middle, that means you draw fire from both sides. And so we've just, when we first got here, praying about how to minister to everyone and their needs and their concerns. And we came up with the idea of having a second service. So we have the traditional service that we always have, and then we have one that's fully masked. And we did that for a long time. Plus, we upgraded our live stream equipment. I think a lot of churches had to. We were using an iPhone. We went and bought a real camera. So that went along for a little while, and then we went to high, which is you can't have any groups 20 or more. You're not supposed to in Ketchikan. And so the first time it happened, we just went fully online for a few weeks. But as you know, preaching to a camera and not faces is so hard. And plus, we have a lot of people that were like, you know, the warnings aside, I want to meet gather as a church. So this time around, we went to high for about 4 weeks. We actually just dropped back, so we'll be back to two services this Sunday, but we've been having three services every Sunday, back to back, about a 30 to 45 minute message with just a couple of songs. So we started 8. That was a fully masked service for everyone that needed or wanted to be fully masked. That would end by 8:45. And I told people, you don't have to leave, but you can't stay here, like clear out for the next group to come in. And so at 9 o'clock, we'd have another service of 20 or less. Same thing. We had done by 9:45, get out of here. 10 o'clock, we'd have another service of 20 or less. And so it was just preaching three sermons back to back to back on Sunday morning. So I was pretty well smoked when I got home after all of that. But thankfully this week we'll be back to two services and we can have a few more people gather. But just, you know, when you think you're getting into a rhythm, the risk level changes. And just trying to adjust fire and love everybody where they're at with the COVID situation and different fears and different concerns. And yeah, that's like I said, when I was in seminary thinking about the first year of ministry, never dreamed of COVID.
Yeah. And I just thank the Lord that you're there, that your spiritual maturity is showing up. I mean, from the Lord's work in your life in the army and leading men and, you know, making adjustments on the fly to do what's best in light of the objectives of the mission. Yeah. That's what you've had to do. And I don't know if folks know how hard it is to preach three times on a Sunday. It is, you really are smoked. You said it. When I've had to do that, I'm smoked still Monday. I mean, I'm burnt toast still for a good 36 hours of just, you know, need to, you know, put me on a bed of ice or something. But well, I'm grateful that it's cutting back to two, and that's great. And so happy for your endurance there. And I look forward to what's to come when these numbers go down and we can, in some ways you get to restart the ministry. And we all do, but especially in your kind of context, because you're just there and then you restart it. And it's going to be a rich time. Well, here, let's do a little speed round here. Just some fun questions. So, all right. What do you miss about Kansas City food? Are there any specific restaurants you miss? Sarah?
Defer to Sarah.
Yes, all of them. We miss our barbecue for sure.
Yeah.
Sonic. You miss Sonic.
I miss Sonic slushies.
And that was right up the street from the seminary too.
Yes.
Yeah. Donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are no donut shops?
Well, there is at the Safeway at the local grocery store.
Okay.
But that's it.
Wow. Well, if I were an entrepreneur, I'd just throw a donut shop up there. And,
yeah.
How about you, Mac?
Food. I don't know. What do I miss? I would say I missed coffee shops. When we first got here, there was kind of a famine of the coffee shops like a seminarian is used to. But they've recently put one in that's a little more like a Kansas City coffee shop. So I've been enjoying that and having my meetings there. But for a lot of the year, it was coffee shops. Yeah.
And as a pastor, those are important places. You know, you can't just meet at the church with everybody all the time. And so it's nice to, you know, yeah. get off site and connect. It's great.
Yeah.
Biggest fish that you've caught so far?
Oh, well, I think it was probably that coho salmon with Randy Covington came down and we all went fishing together. I think, I don't know pound wise, we didn't measure them all, but it was a pretty big salmon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was apparently a bad salmon year, of course, being the first one, but everybody talks about COVID, rainy, and bad salmon year. But they predict, and I don't know how they predict such things, that this year is going to be an amazing salmon year. So we look forward to that.
Sarah, how about you?
I would love to go fishing. I was pregnant during this fishing season, so I didn't want to tackle seasickness and pregnancy. So I'll look forward to that this summer.
You like to fish. Am I remembering that correctly?
I do. Yes, I do like to fish.
Fun. Well, that'll be great. Best book of, since you've been up there, the books you've read, what have you enjoyed the most?
Oh, well, you better go first because I got to.
You got a long way.
Well, so this non-Christian book, I found in the evenings, I kind of like to read biography every evening. I'm currently working on Winston Churchill, but I read a book about Captain Cook. You know, he did all the exploration out here in the Pacific and up here in this area, in this region, and named a lot of things. And so it was really interesting learning about Captain Cook and his exploration. Yeah. As far as a Christian book, I'm not sure. What about you, babe? What do you, you've read a few books.
Yeah. For a gift after I had Liam, Allen got me a Tim Challey's book called Devoted. And it's a series of stories about Christian women and their godly sons. And so it's just inspirational learning about some of the moms that inspired these godly men. So I really enjoyed that book.
Yeah.
Cool. Mac, when I asked this question, I wondered if you'd say biography. Just if you didn't say a biography, I was going to ask you what biography you are currently reading. So you mentioned Packers Knowing God. I just finished up Alistair McGrath's little short biography, not the longer one, but the short little sort of reflection on Packers life and theology that just came out. It was quite good.
Yeah, we've been reading Knowing God since the beginning of the year, Alan McDonald and I. We read a book by Matt Boswell on biblical worship over the fall, and that was a really good book, too. Kind of, you know, just read a chapter a week and discuss it together kind of thing. But, yeah, I've been really digging into commentaries during my, like, you know, study time, and so that, I really appreciate them in a greater way being a pastor now, but David Garland's book on the theology of Mark's gospel. I really love that book and I've enjoyed reading that.
Yes. Can't recommend it highly enough. And he's just a great commentary. His stuff on 2 Corinthians. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you read a good commentator, you're like, okay, this person's really smart. You know, this person, they can analyze, synthesize, and apply in the same book. And yeah, they become some of your favorite books, actually, is books on the Bible, commentaries.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Any particular passages of scripture that have ministered to you as you've read or Mac, even as you preach through, like this is blessing me as much as it's going to bless anybody?
Yeah. Well, a passage that, you know, I mean, lots of passages would probably come to mind or do come to mind. But one that I think about a lot is 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6, when Paul's talking about having this mercy by our ministry by the mercy of God. We do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways and refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. It's just been really encouraging to me during this last year, because walking into an already just struggling ministry context, and then there's the controversy, and I mean people giving ultimatums to the pastor and just like a lot of fear over what's going to happen when this person resigns, and just remembering that I'm just here to preach the gospel, and I'm here to lead as biblically as possible, I'm here to unpack God's word for these people, and then he's ultimately sovereign, he's in control of how all this is going to happen, I just need to be faithful. And so these six verses have been a big encouragement on those kind of like, I don't know, winter soldier type hours where you're up late worried about how something's going to go. And just, I would read that text and remember, you know, I just need to be faithful. It's in God's hands.
Mm. so fun to hear of his power and his word to you and your faithfulness, brother. Sarah, any passages that have ministered to you especially?
Yeah, I think, well, overall, I think it's been really fun. Alan had these sermons lined out before we actually got the job, to be honest.
February.
Yeah. And so just listening to him preach and knowing that this was planned a year out and that it's exactly what we need to hear. But for me personally, in this crazy time of life, I don't get to study the word like I want to study the word. So scripture memory has been really helpful for me. And so right now I'm just working through Ephesians. And I love Ephesians 2 and 4 through 6. And it's a good reminder for me, you know, when we feel like we've been slighted or somebody has offended us, like, well, I'm also a transgressor and God's mercy on me is anything bigger than I can ever give to somebody else. So just to remember to be merciful to others, remembering that Christ was also merciful to me. Mm. So yeah, just trying to really memorize scripture. And right now I'm in Ephesians chapter 2. So it's easier to memorize scripture and pull it to my mind when I have four kids tugging at me or chores to do. And so just to run the scripture through my mind has been really fruitful for me.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah.
Yes, the word is powerful. What's your favorite family activity?
Well, when we get to do family stuff, that's what.
Yeah.
Yeah. With prayer requests. We like to hike. The hikes around here are not hard hikes mostly. So you can take, now if we got to take one of the younger ones with a stroller, you have to kind of think about it, but we can walk. There's a lot of waterfalls. Like, we live in a temperate rainforest. So I tell people, if you've ever seen Star Wars episode 6, the indoor moon, we look kind of like that just without the redwoods. And so we like to walk, and then they love to go down to the tidal pools. Like Sarah mentioned, they have a laminated card with the different animals on it. And so they'll, you know, it's like playing bingo or something. They're trying to find all the different animals in the tidal pools when the tide's out.
My highlight was chasing a whale, watching it feed, a humpback whale, watching it lunge feed. So it's just cool to see the nature out here. Wildlife. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Just so rich and so fun to think about. When I think about your ministry right now, I just think of initial fulfillment. Mac, from talking, I remember it was probably 2018 in the fall, 2018 in the fall, 2019, thinking about, you know, what direction you should go, even as early as 2018, and maybe going back to Alaska and the possibilities of that. And now you're there and settled, and the ministry and the effect you're having, even in these first few months, the kind of structures you're setting up, the way that you're helping people think about God's word, you're doing foundational work that can last for decades. And it's so fun to think about that. And I'm excited to get up there and see you all, see the kiddos, meet Liam, and see especially Hazel and Henry's growth. Yeah, and to preach to your folks and encourage them in the glory of a local church, just what it is and the value of it for years. And what we get to experience by just going for the long haul, the long view wins the day. Excited to be there. Well, this has been a rich time. Thank you for joining us, McElroys. We love you. We do miss you here and look forward to when we can connect again. And again, I'll bring you greetings from MCC when I'm there. But looking forward to seeing you all and connecting. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So, friends, again, the goal of the Voices of MCC podcast is to enrich your life through the riches of our church fellowship and all that God is doing. And in the McElroy's life, we see that in God's faithfulness. And I'm encouraged to step out by faith, to trust God's word, to stick to scripture and let the Lord lead and be jealous and enjoy life and laugh. And so thankful for that in the McElroy family. I want to say a special word of thanks to Alex Volkman for producing these podcasts, and Adam Anderson and Caleb Sheffield for their musical introduction and conclusion. Thank you, friends. Until next time, the Lord bless you.